4 years ago, poet David Ray's son, Sam, died at the age of 19 in an alcohol-related accident. During Ray's long period of grief, he's written many poems about his son, which are now collected in the new book, Sam's Book. It just received a poetry award from the Morris English Foundation in Philadelphia. The judge was poet Denise Levertov. She says Ray has created a memorial to his son that transcends personal tragedy. Without anything so facile as resignation, he arrives at new depths of wisdom, resources which we must remember to remember in times of great need. We invited David Ray to read and talk about his poems. This poem is called Snapshots.
Had we known these few images were all we'd have of you, we'd have been taking pictures all the time. The one I need to forget, to stop weeping, to live, is the one in my mind without looking.
Was it choice or compulsion that made you start writing poems about your son after his death?
Absolutely compulsion. I had no choice. Writing really saved me at that point. It was one of the few things I had to hold on to. I had no choice at all.
How did writing save you?
It kept me, I had such an unbearable burden of feeling about this that it had to go somewhere. There was no place else to go. It was rage, it was sadness, it was tears. I had no place to go except my writing.
How did your son die?
My son was back for his sophomore year at Carleton College. He was a sophomore. And a group of his friends invited him downtown for drinks. They went down and got absolutely plastered. I don't know how they got so drunk. And my son didn't make it back to the dorm. He fell on his way home. He was the last to go back. Everything was bad about it. It was an absurd, thrown-away life. It was in the worst way. There was nothing about the circumstances of it that could be accepted. And my writing really was the only thing I could turn to.
Would you read your poem, How to Be Loved?
How to Be Loved, yes. That lake was where, beneath pine panels, Sam caught me reading How to Be Loved, a popular paperback, and asked me what it said. He never had that trouble. Main thing, I said, is never care. People will not love a man who cares, who shows he sadly needs that love. Insouciance is best. And Samuel Cyrus laughed. Let's get this straight, he said. You're reading a book called How to Be Loved that says the main thing is not to care, and you care enough to read it? I guess I love you anyhow. And he went on out to swim and fish and then install an old radio in my battered Plymouth Valiant. I hear them still, my radio, my son.
You know, I sometimes think that things like made-for-TV movies have made it really difficult for us to express sincere emotion without it feeling sentimental, because made-for-TV movies deal with, like, the death of children,
yes,
the death of parents all the time, and it's always very sentimentalized, very schmaltzed up, and you wonder how is it possible to express,
yes,
pure heartfelt emotion after all this sentimentality that we're surrounded,
well,
with.
Well, isn't that what Holden Caulfield was on about in The Catcher in the Rye? We're so surrounded with phoniness that the search for the authentic is probably half our lives. I mean, I get so I can't even pick up something printed on slick paper. There is such a phoniness around us. And I think that goes together with a drug culture, including alcohol, numbing feeling. How can the authentic get through if feelings are numbed? Someone told me about a grieving person who was given a lot of tranquilizers and therefore did not even experience the ups and downs of grief. Now, I think that's a tragedy in itself. Faulkner said, between grief and nothing, I will take grief. That nothing is a terrible thing. At least you have a chance, if you go through that darkness, of emerging from it at some point.
You have a poem about mourning. It's called The Question. Would you read that?
Yes, that is particularly important right now to me because I have found it hard to give him up. And one does have to let go. And so this is the question. How long should I mourn? Let me ask you, my son, how long would you wish it? Do you want it to go on? Is there anything to be gained for either of us, for both of us? Are you so far away now that you're no more than a wish? The one I had on my mind before you fulfilled it came quite early one morning when mist was on fields, and we had slept there waiting in a tent for you, yet rushed into the town as if a boy like you could not have appeared out of the fields, blue mists not far from the ocean. You see, my son's life meant so much to me, partly because I had a really wretched childhood and family life and all of that sort of thing, as my other writings deal with. And he was sort of my ace. I really thought he's going to have the good life. He's going to have the happy life that I didn't have. And then this happened. And he was an incredibly happy and well-rounded and gifted person. He was a straight-A student, athletic, and joyous. And I do think that in those 19 years, he did have a happy life, and that means a great deal to me. But I think that this, it's a bomb to anyone, but it was very much a bomb to me because I had so identified with his quest being mine. And one of the things that happens, as I say here in a couple of other poems, is that with a death like this, your roles are reversed. Suddenly, he's the father and I'm the son. I'm trying to learn from him the lessons that I wanted to teach him. And if they're real lessons, if they're really important, then I really have to hear them. I have to say, you wouldn't want my life to be destroyed, you know, because I wouldn't want yours to be destroyed. But it's that terrible reversal of roles.
How have you dealt with that question of when to stop mourning, and would your son really want you to keep mourning?
Well, I'm dealing with it. I'm trying to get through that and not to cling and not to hold on. But it's very difficult. Someone said, when you lose your parents, you lose your past, and when you lose a child, you lose your future. And there's a great deal to that. You know, there's an old Zen saying, what is the secret of happiness? Someone asked the guru, and the guru said, that's very simple. Grandfather die, father die, son die. And he said, that doesn't sound very happy. And the guru said, would you have it in any other way? And that's the truth of it.
You were telling me before that this book of poems for your late son Sam has gotten a stronger response from people than any other book of poems that you've had published, and that to you that was somehow like getting a medal for being in a concentration camp.
Yes, I did feel that ironic response to the Morris English Award. I was very grateful, but it was indeed painful in a sense. The survivor's guilt, you know, is a terrible problem. And so how could something good come out of something so horrible and unacceptable? And that's simply something one has to live with.
One more poem I'm going to ask you to read, and that is Brief Song.
Yes. There will come a day when you would have lived your life all the way through, mine long gone, and peace will descend then, such a great peace, like a breath moving those pines, moving even the stone, and then I can let go.
Thank you very much for reading some of your poems for us.
Thank you, Terry, for sharing.
Sam's book by David Ray is published by Wesleyan University Press. This is Fresh Air.